From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Man Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Man Cometh!
Whether you're a superhero trying to save the world in spandex, or if you're just invading Belgium, or you're trying to fire a magic missile into Melee, or you're trying to transport wheat by boat over the Pyrenees, we don't mind. There's a tabletop game for you, and we're here to talk all about them on The Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Good evening.
Good evening, Trent. How are you going?
Very well, Mark. Very well. Fine to be here again for another night of nerd goodness.
It seems like we've been gone for a long time, but in fact it's been the same length of time as it always is between shows.
Yes, 7 days, almost like a week.
It is, it's right. So look, tonight we have got a show packed full of goodness for you. We've got all the news that's fit to be half-arsed. We've got the extremely exciting Edge Radio Radiothon where we're giving away prizes, including a special gaming prizes. And we finally hit on it, that gaming idea that is going to rocket us to the top of the game design charts. You'll hear more about Brain in a Jar.
I'm glad you've done some thinking about this because I have no idea.
It's a winner.
But I do know that our song to get us in the mood tonight is going to make you think that your radio is broken. I've kind of been trying to make it a policy not to repeat the bands that we like to kick the show off with, but I made an exception in that one. That's another new track from the Every Time I Die album from Parts Unknown. It's called If There Is Room to Move, Things Move.
That one rocks.
Does it
to
what?
To put it mildly.
Does it what? It's a fantastic album. I love
yeah.
it. All right. How you going?
I am good.
Hey, I've just had a complete brainwave.
Yes.
Maybe it's this music. All these years that makes it so difficult for me to actually concentrate. Maybe I've got like
so
permanent
you're
ADD.
Suffering from brain damage from heavy metal music that's influencing your ability to win games.
Why not? Why not? That's a badge of honour I'd wear proudly.
I think you're clutching at straws.
But listen, no. Well, look, I did actually manage to win.
I think he did shit. Let's face it.
No.
I mean shite.
I did manage to win something just recently.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Tell us a story.
Okay, so what we've been playing lately, I've been playing Earth Reborn. Have you heard about this one?
I know of it. I've never played it.
It's a Z-Man game. Came out in 2010, co-production with Z-Man and Ludicoli by Christophe Boulinger. It's a French game, mm-hmm. and it's a scenario-based miniatures game for 2 to 4 players. It's fairly well regarded, and it's infamous.
So a post-apocalyptic descent type?
Yeah, and I'll talk to that in just a sec. Yep. But the thing it's most famous for is the box that it comes in, which is, of course, enormous.
Yes.
You know, big enough to bury a giant dog in or something. And when it ships, you actually can't close the lid properly. There are so many sheets of punch-out cardboard for your chits and what have you in this box that the manufacturers couldn't get the lid on in the factory. So there's a lot of stuff. And this thing has been sitting on my shelf for years.
Yeah, I remember seeing it there, and we've never, ever played it.
Taunting me. So I've finally busted it out. And, yeah, it's 10 scenarios in this post-apocalyptic universe. It's full of these really cliched secondhand sci-fi ideas. You've got the broken Statue of Liberty on the cover. You maniacs! You've got underground cities that are run by someone who's
apes.
No, presumably Joseph Mengele, because he's conducting experiments on his population. Yep. You've got a man with a buzzsaw for an arm. Of course,
yes.
In the opening scenario, actually, it's funny. He's the guy who's always set out to collect firewood. I don't know why. There's also female soldiers armed to the teeth with enormous breasts.
Right.
Of course, in this, you know, adolescent-fueled fantasy.
Yeah.
And really, the whole thing looks like it was designed by a high school graphics student. It really does. You've got nice illustration, but very poor choice of fonts and color choices and a really messy design, but look, it works.
Okay.
You're absolutely drowning in stuff with this game.
Yeah.
And there's so much there that what they've done with the scenarios is they've broken them down into the training scenarios. So the first mission, which is the one we've done, only the very, very basic rules. There's no firearms in it. Only movement and close combat. Very, very simple. But
so you got to chop wood without taking your fingers off or something.
Something like that. It's very simple, at least at the start, but it's a very good introduction, and I will be going back to get more of it.
Oh, cool.
This is cheese that I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, and is it like Descent? You know, we've been playing a bit of a Descent campaign. Is it something that you do want to play a campaign of, or can you just pick it up and go, hey, five people, let's all sit down and play scenario three?
It certainly looks a little bit like Descent in that there's the modular tiles that are double-sided, and all that looks fantastic, although it is a lot trickier to put together a session than it is for Descent, so the setup time is nightmarish. But I don't think, at least from where I'm at the moment at the start of it all, that there's really a big overarching story.
Okay.
I think, yes, you will be able to sort of jump in and out. And some of the campaigns, or some of the scenarios in it are for two players, some are for three, some are for four.
Okay.
So it's not like you can play through the whole thing with the one team.
Group.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Earth Reborn. I give it half thumbs up.
Okay.
Yeah. If you like that kind of thing.
A sawn-off thumb up.
Thank you, thank you.
No worries. Well, I have been playing your copy of City of Horror. Now, City of Horror, funny enough, it's about zombies, and it's actually a re-implementation of a slightly older game called Mall of Horror. Now, I've had Mall of Horror for a while. I haven't got it to the table for quite some time, which was by Asmodee, that great French group that do really good graphic design, lots of theme in their games. I like a lot of their games. And Mall of Horror was actually based on George Romero's Dawn of the Dead.
Yep, arguably the best of the zombie films.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in Dawn of the Dead and in Mall of Horror, you've got groups of people inside a mall basically running from shop to shop in the mall trying to escape the zombies.
And there's a special ability in each of those locations in the mall.
No.
No, okay.
No. So
I'll shut up.
Yeah. So in Mall of Horror, there's not. So basically, the player pieces are all the same. Everyone's got a guy with a baseball bat who is worth two people, basically, because he's got a baseball bat. A guy with a gun who gets two votes, go figure, and a blonde bimbo. Now, the room with the most blonde bimbos in it will attract an extra zombie each turn. And you basically, one of your people has got to run from one room to another. You pick on this voting dial, you pick which room you're going to run to, and then on the other side of the voting dial, it's for when you're voting as to who's going to be eaten by the zombies. So what happens is zombies gather outside the door. There are certain rules that say when zombies get in, you're trying to kill them. If the zombies get in, you then vote to throw someone to the zombies and the zombies go away and eat that person.
Yep.
So it's really cutthroat. A lot of people die.
Brings out the worst in people.
Yeah, it's really great game for negotiation. Lots of backstabbing. So a re-implementation of that came out in 2012 called City of Horror. Now, City of Horror, they've ramped up the graphic design. It's much prettier. And now what they've got is, instead of everyone having the same characters, every character is different. So every player has a different person. There's the punk, there's the old lady, there's the pregnant woman, there's the school kid. You know, there's 30 plus of these things, and they all have a different special ability. And in this game, what you do is, when you use the special ability, you flip the card over. The points at the end of the game are decided by each character has a certain worth of points. Now, they're worth less when they're flipped over and they've used their special ability. So you've got that decision of, do I use the special ability to stay alive, or do I try and keep them up to get more points? You've got six locations in the city, different rooms. And in this case, as you're saying, each of the rooms has a special ability that you can do. You can get a cure, you can get food, you can get these cards that you use to do lots of different things.
You can look ahead to see what's coming
in the
next
turn.
Yeah, you
can see where the zombies are going to come. And each turn, in the Mall of Horror, you roll dice to see whether the zombies are going to come. In City of Horror, you have these cards that you flip over, and it tells you how many zombies go to each location, where the cards are going to be, where the syringes are going to be that are a cure. And again, it's lots of backstabbing, lots of deal-making, lots of, oh, you thought I was going to be there, but now I'm going to be going over there. Just there's loads of fun, lots of people dying.
Lots of sucking up to other players to try and form voting blocks.
Yes, that does happen
sometimes. Not looking
at
anyone in particular.
That does happen sometimes.
I would have won that game if it wasn't for you and Oren teaming up together.
Okay, well, there you go. Maybe that was the reason. Anyway, look, it's lots of fun. It looks beautiful. I have a lot of fun with both Mall of Horror and City of Horror. Interesting to note, I didn't realise there's a couple of expansions for City of Horror.
Oh, really?
One, it's just one card. It's called the Lawnmower. And the lawnmower basically wipes out all the zombies in one location. And then, of course, your lawnmower's no good anymore. So
excellent,
it's one use.
Excellent brain dead reference.
And then there's the Director's Cut expansion, which is just five extra cards that do extra special things. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't take it to crazy levels, but it is lots of fun. I think there's lots of replayability in this game, which is, you know, replayability is something we've been talking about lately. And because you've got all the different characters, because we've got all the different rooms, you've got a number of the sets of cards that you flip over each time. It only goes for four turns, so it's not a really long game, probably 90 minutes, I think. It does play up to six.
It really depends on how long you want to argue.
Yeah, or, you know, the dealing, how long the deal making is going on. So City of Horror and Mall of Horror, I would recommend them both. I'd give them both two thumbs up.
You do remember that City of Horror is my seven-year-old daughter's favourite game.
Yeah, I know.
Because she loves to throw daddy to those zombies.
Winning at parenting.
Now, last week on the show, we interviewed Australian game designer Peter Hawes of Francis Drake and Triassic Terror fame, and he had one or two things to say about the Spiel des Jahres Awards. And frankly, it took us by surprise. We didn't know what to make of it, so we asked the internet, and we'll let you know the results of that in just a moment. On Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, this is The Dice Man Cometh.
Now, The Dice Man Cometh with Edge Radio 99.3 FM. That was Yes, I'm Leaving with their song One. Now, we tried to kick up one hell of a ruckus with our interview from Peter Hawes, but yeah, it was interesting. We didn't get a lot of reaction, did we?
No. And look, this all came about from last week where Peter Hawes was talking about his opinions on the Spiel des Jahres Awards from Germany, awarded every year, considered perhaps the leading or the most prestigious game award of the gamer calendar. And, he basically made the accusation that the people who are on the jury get some kind of financial kickback from their decision and get a cut of every game that's sold that has the Spiel des Jahres logo on it and also on the Kenner Spiel. And as such, it was going to be in their best interest to pick the game that was going to be the biggest hit. So not necessarily the best game, but the one that had the most appeal. I mean, I think that was basically the thrust of what he was saying. Now, this was Peter's opinion, and frankly, it took us by surprise because we had no idea that these awards were anything but merit based. And look, honestly, we didn't know. So we put it to the test via the interwebs. We went to Reddit. We put a post up on there. We went to Facebook, and that's where we eventually got our answer. But we also thought we'd go straight to the top of the board gaming knowledge tree. And we talked to
Solomon from Melbourne.
Dice Towers, Tom Vassell. And you know, this is just a quick chat backwards and forwards, a couple of emails. And look, the answer to this is the Spiel des Jahres crooked. No, it is not. Emphatically, no. And we want to make that absolutely clear.
Yeah.
And we apologise to anybody who, you know, may have misinterpreted this. Because honestly, this was just us in our own ignorance.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, looking around for an answer. The actual response that we got from Tom goes along the lines of, I don't think they are crooked, in inverted commas. I think they are looking for the best family game. It's just the vagaries of humans picking something, that is all. Now, look, for more detail on this, I must give a shout-out to Aaron Lim of the Action Points podcast to put a little post on our Facebook page to a blog called From Inspiration to Publication, which is a blog by a couple of game designers, Jay Cormier and Sen Fung Lim, who were the guys behind Belfort, among a couple of other games. And Belfort itself, which has just won a Geeky Award at Gen Con, which is meant to be a pretty good little game. So they've got their blog on there, and they actually interview one of the jury members and sort of break it all down.
Yes.
There actually is. Can I just explain, you know, who these guys are who are actually on this jury for the Spiel des Jahres? They're all game journalists. They're as part of the conditions of being part of this, 100% independent from the industry, and they volunteer. They're not even allowed to have a family member who works for a gaming company. That's a conflict of interest. So they are above and beyond reproach. These guys play, and girls, I have to assume there are some women doing this as well.
I hope so.
They're playing over 500 different games per year. So they're playing them every night of the week. And yes, there is a small financial kickback to the award organisers from the publishers who get the brand on their box of about 2-3% of the retail price to use the logo. But that goes to fund the awards themselves, okay? And what are they funding?
Yes.
They're funding flights.
Funding the growth of the hobby.
They're funding attendance at events, flights, accommodation for the jury members, all those kinds of things. And you know what? Frankly, I actually think these guys do need to be reimbursed for their time.
Yeah,
if you're playing 500-plus games per year, all right, I've actually got no problem with them getting a little bit of the, well, not a little bit of the action, but, you know, getting some compensation for that.
Yeah, well, we want there to be an air of professionalism about the hobby in general. I mean, so many times we've talked about the fact that, you know, designers, we talked about Scott Nicholson, you know, and his quote of getting 50 cents back from each copy of the game sold. I mean, there are very, very few designers who can afford to be a professional board game designer and do this all the time. So anything that brings an air of professionalism to our hobby, just like we like to do here in the radio studio, bring an air of professionalism to board game journalism. Look, it should be encouraging. If anyone wants to send money our way, we'd be happy to receive that as well. But we'll talk about that later in the Radiothon.
Now, looking elsewhere at various board gaming bits of news.
Hang on, is this news?
It is. If half-assed news. That's what we normally do around about this time. Is that okay?
Hang on.
Oh, have you got theme music again? Oh, my God.
It's time for the hardest-hitting, half-assed news about board games this side of any other half-assed news. It's half-assed news with Trent, the half-assed one.
And in tribute to Robin Williams tonight, I'm going to start my half-assed board gaming news by going... D&D Attack Wing is hotting up. The game is launched at the start of October, and at the end of the month, organized play will begin through various board gaming retailers. There's going to be some kind of storyline that's carried along in these limited edition retailer kits, and there are prizes and limited edition little dragon statuettes and figures that go with that for D&D Attack Wing, which is going to be the new hotness, let me tell you.
And I did hear that not only are they going to have dragons, but they're going to have ground troops as well.
Apparently so.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
New Sentinels of the Multiverse. The superhero game that everybody loves to hate or hates to love. Greater Than Games, the publisher of the Sentinels, is releasing the Wrath of the Cosmos expansion. And I'm more than a little annoyed about this because despite the fact... that I hardly play this game anymore.
Yes.
It's driving me crazy that they're releasing an expansion that I actually cannot fit inside the supposedly deluxe final edition box that I bought for this damn game. It's got no more room in it.
How many editions of this game have there been?
Well, I can tell you that they've sold about 60,000 copies of that base game.
Wow.
So obviously they're doing Sentinels of the Multiverse. It is a certain kind of geeky superhero fun, but as we've been saying previously on this show, very, very fiddly. Perhaps they'll have better luck with Greater Than Games' new project, the upcoming Spirit Island. It's a co-op, something a little bit different from them in that they've brought in an external designer for once. It's described as a co-op where the island is playing a worker placement game against you.
So in other words,
it's lost.
It's like Sentinels of the Multiverse, except instead of there being a superhero, there's an island.
Yeah.
And you're co-op against the island like you are co-op against the villain.
It's lost.
Okay.
Yeah, it's lost the board.
Lost the card game.
It's
lost, all right. Lost the plot!
A Kickstarter for Spirit Island to come soon. Paizo has announced a series of digital Pathfinder games, kicking off with the Rise of the Rune Lords.
Oh, yes, I saw this release from Gen Con. Seen a couple of screenshots of the iPad version or tablet, non-branded tablet version. Looks great.
You keep forgetting to bring your copy of Rise of the Rune.
You know what?
What
this
is it?
Week,
what?
I got it out.
Yeah.
I have set up all the locations and all the characters for a six-player game, and then something came up which meant that I'm not able to come and play games
something
later on tonight.
Always comes up, doesn't it, Mark?
So it's ready to go. I'm raring to go. I've been reading up on the rules and everything.
And we'll all be able to play it soon on our iPad, and there will be more Pathfinder games from Paizo in the not-too-distant future. Hanabi is getting a re-release in November. Speaking of your Spiel des Jahres winners,
yes.
Hanabi Deluxe, which is going to be more or less the same game, but with Mahjong tiles, apparently, which is in keeping with that sort of Chinese theme, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the big news of the past week or so, Asmodee purchasing Days of Wonder. So this was from a week or so ago at the time of broadcast. This gives, well, Asmodee being the French publisher who gave us Seven
City
Wonders.
City of Horrors and Mall of Horrors.
Yeah, exactly. Great, fantastic standard production. Ditto Days of Wonder.
Yes.
But they don't do an awful lot of games.
It's they've usually only put out like one a year. And in fact, I did see a bit of a comment recently that said, you know, firstly, and I'm probably stealing your thunder here, but sorry, Ticket to Ride is now outselling Catan.
Yep.
So in terms of Days of Wonder sort of market footprint. But if you look at the ones, the games they've produced the last little bit, Relic Runners, what I hear you say, you know, Cargo Noir was another one, and their Mystery on a Train, Orient Express type thing. I can't even remember what it's called, and I even owned it, and then I sold it before I even played it. They've had a lot of sort of misses. They haven't had the hits.
And even this new thing they've got out, Five Tribes? I don't know. I'm a little bit underwhelmed. Look, I'm sure it actually plays well, but it's not a particularly attractive-looking game.
And it's no Shadows of Over Camelot or Mystery of the Abbey.
Or Small World.
Or Small World or Colosseum or Ticket to Ride. Or even something I need to bring to Hogs as well that I haven't for a while, Cleopatra and the Society of Architects with the massive big plastic obelisks and temple and everything. You're looking at me like you've never played it. Another one to the list.
Yeah, Colosseum as well.
Another great game of theirs.
So, look, I mean, this is two great companies getting together, so I think this is probably going to be a good thing. This is good for Asmodee, and it gives them better access to the US, and it also gives Days of Wonder some digital expertise. Asmodee, very, very big in Europe, mainly as a distributor of other people's products.
Yeah.
These two companies have actually been working together for quite some time, so it's not like a hostile takeover.
I was going to say, there's a few designers, a couple of those European designers, Bruno Cathala and some other names I can't remember, who've done like a lot between the two companies. So there's a lot of synergy there already.
So that's our half-assed news, aside from, of course, the build-up to the Essen Spiel coming up in October. We'll be talking about that in upcoming editions of the Dice Men Cometh. And we'll also very shortly be talking about the Edge Radio Radiothon, which is a big deal for us, and we'll give you some deets on that in a moment.
Absolutely. We'll be back after this brief musical interlude.
Two, three, four.
Edge Radio, 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. That was Do What You Want Now by The Reactions, another great Tassie band. And before that, a song with the same name as a board game by Flying Frog Productions, Last Night on Earth.
Oh my God,
it is. A zombie game, by Lee Ranaloo and the Dust. Although that one was a little bit quieter than the zombie apocalypse would be. Now, coming up shortly, we're going to talk again about the Edge Radio Radiothon and the fantastic prizes that you can win by supporting this fabulous community radio enterprise that is Edge Radio.
That's right.
That puts us here every week, God bless them. But before we do, we stumbled across last week in the studio an idea for a game.
Oh my God.
And it's just been running hot in my mind, I don't know about yours, but all week. And every time I sit here, I just come up with more and more ideas. I think it's just, it's gold board game form.
Again, this came out of our conversation with Peter Hawes, the game designer, who's a GP, and of course has an opinion on gamers' health.
Yes.
And the idea is, well, let's call it what it is.
Brain in a jar.
Which comes from the idea that all of us gamers are overweight, we're going to all die of heart attacks before we're 60,
But our brains are going to be really good health because we're constantly stimulating them with all the different games we're playing.
That's right. We're warding off Alzheimer's every day, but our cholesterol, through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, here's Let me run a couple of ideas past you.
Well, look, I'll just paint the picture, because in my head, this is all of our gamer brains, which are all in fantastic shape.
Yes.
Do away with the body part. You don't need that. But the brain is worth saving.
Mm.
Put that in a jar. Put that on a shelf. Maybe it goes to some mad scientist after a little while. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yep, absolutely. And clearly, because of all this exercising of our mind that we've been doing and that we're going to continue to do for years and years and years to come, our minds are going to develop extraordinary powers.
I think this is a...
Powers of telepathy and perhaps telekinesis.
I think if you have a brain in a jar, a game called Brain in a Jar without telepathy and telekinesis is going to be fairly dull.
Yeah, that's right. So our brains are going to have these powers, and clearly what we're wanting to do as brains in a jar of gamers in a mad scientist lab is escape before we dissect it.
That's right. That's right. I want to get Mike Mignola, who does Hellboy.
That'd be brilliant.
To design this. Because,
oh, baby.
Because straight away, when I'm thinking brain in a jar, I'm thinking Hellboy, I'm thinking giant monkeys with bolts in their neck.
Yep.
And robots.
Well, look, I had thought about some sort of worker placement element where you can activate a Frankenstein monster, a trained ape, a gimpy assistant,
an eagle,
a robot, a puppy, even a remote control car.
Puppy?
Yeah, it would be cute. To try and move you around in the lab. And obviously...
Could it be a zombie puppy?
It could be a zombie puppy. And, you know, look, one idea that's popping around in my head is, you know, you're trying to build some sort of Rube Goldberg contraption to, you know, to tie a pin to a feather, to pop a balloon, to turn on a fan, to basically make your jar fall onto a trolley and drive it out of the lab, or to put you on top of a robot and have it walk out of the lab. There's so much in it.
So your idea is for a worker placement.
Well, it could have that worker placement element.
And depending on the strength of your telepathic powers, you'll get a certain number of workers.
Maybe. Look, I haven't gone that deep into it yet, but
And maybe the meeples that you have are little squidgy brains.
Oh, that sounds so good.
You can get those from joke shops and stuff.
Yeah, and look, I think that I thought of a timing mechanism, which is how long you've got till the mad scientist comes back in the room. So this tick, tick, ticking down, you're competing against the clock. You don't want this game to go on forever. You're competing against the clock. And I think there should be a real risk, even though it might be ever so slight, that your jar might get knocked over and smashed, and that's your undoing, and you're eliminated from the game. Or perhaps even... there's the evilness of you knocking over someone else's jar.
Oh, I see. Right.
So then you've got to protect yourself from being knocked over.
There are so many ideas.
I know. Tell me about some of your ideas.
Well, yours is much better than anything I came up with, because I was kind of thinking brain in a jar, the deck builder game. And you know how when you have a deck builder, so a deck builder is a deck of cards that are really... not very good.
Yeah, you start off with the rubbish.
And you have to buy the good cards to shuffle into your deck. And as you cycle through the hand, they come up at random. So I was figuring, you know, your starting deck would be just fairly boring. Well, I mean, how exciting is it? Being a brain in a jar, it's just brain fluid.
Boredom.
Brain fluid. Brain fluid.
Yeah.
Brain fluid. Oh, there's an eagle. So I'm liking your idea a lot better. But what's actually the goal? Is it to get your brain off the shelf down the Rube Goldberg contraption into a new body?
Yeah. Well, I think it's your ultimate goal is obviously to get the most victory points. But of course, it's all about escape. So you want to escape now. I think there could be a number of different ways. So you could build a robot body out of robot parts. You could put your brain inside the giant ape or inside the Frankenstein.
Of course.
You know, you could put it on the back of the remote control car and drive it out. Like, I think there could be a number of paths to victory here, like in many good games.
I like the idea of trying to get your brain back into a body to live again and have to be struck by lightning and all that kind of stuff, but not just into anybody. Into a sexy body.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to send your Igor out to get yourself a couple of hot, sexy bodies and to build the machine and to send up the lightning bolt. And it's all with Mike Mignola art. And this is Brain in a Jar. And this is our idea. And what we want from here is for someone to go out and design this and put it together and then just give us the credit.
Yeah, just say thanks. Thanks to the Diceman Cometh for that fantastic idea.
For anyone who's just joined us halfway through this conversation about brains in jars and undead sexy bodies, This is The Dice Men Cometh. It's a show about board games and card games, and we're on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, which is the local community station here in Hobart, which we're asking you to support with the Edge Radio Radiothon. We're asking you to show us some love, and the deets on exactly how you can do that, and cough up the dough next.
And speaking of unfit gamers, there could be one or two blubber boys around.
Woo-hoo! Nice, Mark. Nice. Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, The Dice Man Cometh, and Regurgitator, Blubber Boy. I never thought I'd live to shock you, Mark, the way I just shocked you when I actually explained what that song's actually about.
Look, I'm still struggling to believe whether it's true or not.
Look it up on the interwebs if you don't know. We love the Gurge.
Yeah, go Gurge.
Now, community radio. It's a fantastic part of the local scene down here. Whether you're into live music or just alternative culture, or you're just looking for information on the local gay or lesbian scene, or
just fantastic array of shows.
Issues,
absolutely.
In general, yeah. So, and Edge Radio has been a great part of Hobart and Tasmania, and indeed contributing to the national community radio fabric of this glorious country of ours.
Well, I've heard that there are even some shows that are that are syndicated on a national community radio feed. We can only aspire to that one day.
And Edge Radio runs their annual Radiothon, which is to help keep this whole glorious affair going. And it's coming up from the 5th of September, and it's running for a week through to the 13th of September. So at the time of broadcast, this is Wednesday the 3rd, so Friday the 5th is the opening of the Radiothon.
Now.
Yeah, and it's all kicking off with a big party at the Republic Bar from 8 p.m. to late. It's actually the birthday party for Edge Radio as well, with the Pierce Brothers headlining, local supports Lulu and the Page Turners, and White Rose Project, some Tassie acts there. So a great night out there, and some more to come as a part of Radiothon. But most importantly, we are asking our listeners to show us some love at the radio station, and to not just make a donation, but to actually become a supporter.
I was going to say, we're not talking about you coming here and pressing up against the glass, okay?
Well, I am. Huh? No, I'm not.
Show us your love.
Yes, that's right. Show us your cash and show us your love. To become an Edge Radio supporter, it's $50, right? And it's also $20 if you want to be a student or a concession. Now, you get eligibility for a whole bunch of supporter-only giveaways of tickets and CDs and other goodies through the year. There's supporter-only content on the Edge Radio website. There's a fortnightly newsletter, bumper stickers, all sorts of bits and pieces, plus the feel-good factor that comes from supporting a great, great cause. Now, look, you might be listening to us on the podcast thinking, what's this got to do with me?
What's this got to do with me?
Let me tell you, Mark, I'm glad you asked. If we didn't have Edge Radio backing us, we couldn't put this podcast together. It's that simple. All right? So it's the only reason we can do the podcast is because Edge Radio are nice enough to let us on here, give us access to the digital feed. And the guys, Alistair, Mark and Honey and Ben and everyone have been so, so good to us.
Oh, no, they make it so easy for us. And look, one of the things I constantly notice when I listen to other podcasts, actually, not wanting to talk us up, is...
Oh, no, go ahead.
The quality... No, it's nothing to do with you or I. The sound quality of our podcast is fantastic compared to many because, you know, there are a lot of people out there recording into Skype, recording in their bedrooms with their doonas over their head and all that sort of stuff. And we are sitting here in a professional radio studio with professional recording equipment. I think we're really, really lucky. And that quality equipment shows through in the quality of our voices.
And we've managed to come up with a prize for this as well. Now, there's a whole bunch of prizes, actually, that people can get by becoming an Edge Radio supporter through the Radiothon. I'll take you through a couple of them. There's two personally fitted Anchor wetsuits.
Oh, man.
Now, look, a lot of these are obviously geared towards people who are local in Hobart, all right? But bear with us because there's some other stuff as well, all right? There's dinner and a show for two at the Republic Bar and Cafe.
Nice.
Three nights accommodation at the Alabama Hotel in the middle of the Hobart CBD. There's a skateboard from Jimmy's Street and Skate that you can win. $200 in haircuts and care from Some Hallucination Hair. and a $200 flight voucher, flight centre gift voucher.
Oh, flight centres.
Yes, that's right. So all this and more to be won in the Edge Radio Radiothon, plus a little exclusive prize to the Dice Man Cometh. The guys at Good Games Hobart,
yes,
which is opening up on the 16th of September.
New friendly local game
that's
store.
Right, brand new game store in Hobart, which is fantastic, have coughed up a $50 gift voucher for us. So that means that if you become an Edge Radio supporter and you're a local and you score that voucher, you've made your money back. If you're a supporter and you've signed up on the student concession, you've actually made a profit.
Fantastic.
And thanks very much to PJ and Mike from Good Games, who are, you know, chipped that in for us. So that's great.
Yeah,
that's
brilliant.
How do you do it?
How do you do it?
I'm glad you asked, Mark. You're full of fantastic questions tonight. After the 5th of September, okay, and from that week on, so in between the 5th and the 13th, not just yet, at least at the time of broadcasting.
Pens down.
Yes. You can ring the special Radiothon hotline number 0467 074921. 0467 074921 with your credit card details, or you can jump online and use the PayPal options on the Edge Radio website, which is quite simply edgeradio.org.au. And then you just follow the links through to /supporter, edgeradio.org.au. And there's a downloadable form if you want to send in a check, if anyone's still using that archaic form of payment.
Yes.
edgeradio.org.au for all the details on Radiothon and the hotline number 0467 074921.
And for those people who are interested to listen to us in our raw form...
With
the music, you do also go to edgeradio.org.au/programs, I think it is. Go to the Dice Man Cometh program. You can listen there. The programs stay on there for 3 weeks. So each one, after 3 weeks, one slides away, the new one comes in. I would highly recommend listening to us in our natural form with the music, because, you know, we do like to banter about the music and stuff. And speaking about music, because we've still got a few minutes left, I've got a very interesting track here.
I doubt that.
Did you know Lily Allen,
mm-hmm,
pop singer extraordinaire?
Sure.
Did you know her relation to the Game of Thrones TV show?
I did not. Please enlighten me.
Alfie Allen.
What?
Alfie Allen.
Who is?
He's the man who had his appendage chopped off. Theon Greyjoy.
Oh, yes.
Is Lily Allen's brother. And you know, when he was a bit younger, he used to get up to a bit of stuff.
Is that right?
And she wrote a song about him. And now I'm going to play it. Alfie, get yourself a real job.
That's embarrassing.
That was Lily Allen. And obviously Alfie, you know, used to get up to a bit of stuff, and look what happened to him now.
Yeah, there you go. There's a recipe for success, kids. Don't listen to the lyrics too hard.
No.
Hey, a couple of quick shout-outs. The guys at Concentric are getting ready to launch at the end of this month at the Burnside Community Centre in Adelaide. It's South Australia's big annual board gaming event, the 27th and the 28th of September. We'll have to get one of the organisers on and have a bit of a chat and see
definitely.
How that's all going.
Yeah, definitely. Clearly, they're a bit like you. They've moved on from train games. Just for anyone who knows, it used to be held in a place where they had train carriages as the hotel. So now they've moved into suburban Adelaide, which is just as exciting.
You can get deets on con-centric.com.au. Also, MeepleCon in Melbourne on the 6th and 7th of December, more specifically in the Edinburgh Gardens Community Rooms in Fitzroy. Now, MeepleCon, this was the annual Convic event, which I think fell a little... Look, I don't really know all the details, but it fell a little bit by the wayside, so they're trying to bring an annual event back stronger and better than ever. So MeepleCon in early December. And, of course, mixed in amongst all of this, there's a little event called PAX.
Oh, and the PAX, PAX Prime, I think they call the one in Seattle. Now, that's just finished this last week. There's been, I guess it's hard for them to follow on the heels of Gen Con, because there's so many big announcements at Gen Con, but there's been lots of gaming at PAX Prime.
Yeah, well, PAX isn't specifically a gaming convention. It's more of a pop culture. Yeah. I mean, well, video gaming was what it was originally all about,
because PAX actually stands for Penny Arcade Expo.
Of course,
because it came from the Penny Arcade online comic, and a lot of what they did was around video games, so it started from there. Although, have you heard any of the recordings they've done of live D&D, where they've had the guys from Penny Arcade, Will Wheaton, from the internet, and other people, they do a live D&D game. It's apparently it's very funny.
Okay, well, we're going to be finding out all about PAX Australia because, we're going to be there.
Yeah!
And I'm not really...
Yes,
I'm not really too sure what we can and can't say at this point, but I believe that we're going to be there hosting a couple of panels. That's if it all comes off.
We'll be there in one shape or another anyway. I've already taken the days off work, so hey, I might as well be there.
That's right. We're flying across the pond to PAX Australia at the end of October the 31st through to November the 2nd in Melbourne. We'll see you there at Jeff's Shed.
Fantastic. You have been listening to The Dice Men Cometh. We'll be back again next week with Mark and Trent and all lots of good games to tell you all about, including we might even have someone from Good Games on next week to talk about the opening of their show, the Radiothon giveaway, all the exciting stuff that's happening in games. But in the meantime, play more games.
This is a fairly fast wrap up for you.
Yeah,
normally the finishes to our shows are like the longest, most drawn out affairs.
Well, you know, I look at the clock and I see, oh, we've still got a minute left, and I don't like to waste any second that I'm talking to our listeners.
No, you're doing a very good job this week, Mark. Please continue. Don't let me interrupt.
Okay, no, I've got to go because we're going to run out of time. We'll talk to you all next week. Join us on the podcast. Join us on Facebook. Join us on Twitter at Dice Men Cometh. Remember your hashtag Dice Men quotes when funny things happen in a game.
And show Edge some love.
Yeah. Get on the edge, love. We'll see you next week. Maybe. Something's not quite right.
Oh,
here.
Really? Really? Has the computer crashed?
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Where is the computer? Computer says no. Let's... Oh, hang on. It's just slow.
The cruel irony of me abusing you for dragging out the end of the show yet again.
Now, according to this, it's actually playing, but there's no sound. How about if I do this? We'll see you all next week. Bye!
Wow, that was great, Mark.
Very professional.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.